This is the Packer and Durham Podcast, Hour 1.
I'm Mark Packer. That is not Wes Durham. Wes is still on assignment from my last recollection. I believe it was Notre Dame-Miami last night. Ivory's still making threes. Guess who's in? Anish is in the house.
On assignment.
You like that?
It's a great term we use in our profession, right? A paper's over a lot of things.
Yes. Yes, it does.
Where is he? He's on assignment.
He's on assignment.
Okay. Is he in trouble? No, he's on assignment.
By the way, I loved your tweet this morning about where the family says you're going today.
Yeah. Going to go hang out with the doggies.
Yeah. Dad's doing the show, TV show with the doggies.
Daddy's doing the TV show with the doggies. Fantastic. Nothing about Uncle Mark. There's nothing about, you know, all the great memorabilia you got. It's the show with the doggies. That is the great appeal of this show, because my wife's not a sports fan, but if I have this on in the morning, it's fine because you've got dogs.
Hounds, yep.
You know, my kid is in the Baby Shark, Elmo, Disney mode, but doggies on TV. I mean, this works for everybody.
Yep. We appeal to all.
You do.
That's what we try to do. All right, you got us on ACC Network. We are streaming live on that ESPN app, and you've got us on SiriusXM 371. We have a busy, busy show to get to. Again, we'll take your calls at 844-SAY-ACCN. We've got a little bit of everything today. We've got some football news. We've got basketball, obviously. We've got lacrosse, without a doubt. We've got fencing. We've got swimming and diving. I mean, we're going to cover everything today because there was so much happening over the weekend. It's not even funny. But we will start with men's basketball because there was a big game in Raleigh, North Carolina. And Florida State, compliments of a big second half. They come back and knock off NC State. Of course, there's this little game going on tonight, Florida State and Louisville, which we will get to. But a really impressive win for Florida State behind at halftime. NC State looking for the huge week, Anish. But guess what? Noles were too good in the second half.
You know, and that's the frustrating part of NC State this season, where you just want to see them string together momentum. And we've seen that all year. You know, they win at Charlottesville, right? Win at Virginia. Then what happens? Lose to Georgia Tech and Carolina. They go to the Carrier Dome, beat, you know, decent Syracuse team. Then lose to BC. Beat Duke by 22. You're up at the half on Florida State. Take care of business. This is a team that has had so many opportunities to get itself off the bubble. I still think ultimately they'll get in. They've got enough quality wins. But they play themselves back on the bubble. I like Kevin Keats. I like Markell Johnson. I'm just waiting for this team to just string some momentum together. Unable to do so all year.
It's an NC State thing. When you think they're dead, they give you something to give you. Oh, there's hope. When you think they're ready to turn the corner, they stub their toe. Again, there's no stubbing your toe. Again, Florida State's a really good basketball team. But it was a golden opportunity for NC State to really solidify the bubble conversation. The good news is, even as of today, Lenardi has them in. But, man, a terrific 20 minutes to close the deal would have really been tremendous for Kevin Keats' guys.
Yeah, and on the other side, to me, Florida State, I think this is the best team in the conference. I know everybody loves Louisville and everybody loves Duke.
Is that a little accounting preview there?
Possibly. Oh. But Devin Vassell, to me, is the defensive player of the year in the ACC and maybe the most underrated player, not just in the league, but all of Division I. You think about what he does in terms of scoring, shooting, his defensive prowess. Everybody talks about, oh, well, they don't have a go-to guy. They don't have an alpha. Did we not forget Trent Forrest was the best player on an Elite Eight team 2 years ago? I mean, he was the best guy in the NCAA tournament for a team that came this close to making the Final Four.
And another great defensive player.
Another great defensive player. But they don't have to shoot well to win.
Well, MJ Walker gives you 12 in the second half. I mean, just Patrick Williams comes in. And, I mean, they just have so many dudes that can just give you a chance to light it up. And that's the thing that makes them so dangerous.
To me, they won the ACC tournament last year. That depth, playing 11, 12 guys, that to me will help them in Greensboro again. Mm-hmm. 5 games, 5 days, or, you know, again, they'll have to play 3 games in 3 days. They'll have the double bye. But to get through that gauntlet, having depth helps. They have quality depth, too. And sometimes, again, we look at the overall numbers. Well, this guy's only averaging 13 points a game, 12 points a game. He's their leading scorer. Well, if Devin Vassell played 35 minutes, his numbers look different. We look at him differently. Leonard Hamilton has figured this out. That's been the formula now for the last, 4 or 5 years?
Yep. Devin Daniels goes for 18 for NC State. The Wolfpack still in a good spot. But, I mean, that was just one of those, if you could have had a 2-0 week after destroying Duke and having a halftime lead on Florida State, you really would have been in a great spot. Kevin Keats, after the game, was not happy regarding the free throw attempt discrepancy. It was 29-13 in favor of the Noles. That has got infamous ACC index card written all over it. But I will point out, and I mentioned this to West Durham on Friday, those two teams, Florida State and NC State, were the worst in the league in terms of free throw attempt discrepancy and fouls. I mean, they get after it. You're going to be a lot of whistles, a lot of free throw attempts. But Florida State went to a line a bunch in the second half. But you know what? The bottom line is they were the better team in the second half when it mattered.
Yeah, 24-3, the free throw discrepancy just in the second half. So I think Keats may have some legitimate beef there. But you know, what's impressed me about the Noles all season, outside of that one non-conference loss to Indiana, where, again, they were in that game until about midway through the second half, they've been in every game, even the games that they've lost, right? Would they lose early to Pitt? I don't put a lot of stock into that. Lost close against Duke, lost close to Virginia, and they've beaten everybody else.
They don't lose two in a row either.
No.
Tonight, we will get into this game. Louisville at Florida State. It is a monster game in the ACC race. We know about the three biggies at the top, Duke, Florida State, Louisville. The Noles have already gone to Louisville and won comfortably in that game. Louisville's gotten their act together, we think. Now we see if somebody can go down there and finally beat Florida State, the Tuckers. Hey, they've been untouchable at home. They're still the only team in the ACC undefeated at home. You go down to Tucker play, boys, you better bring your A game and your box lunch.
Different Louisville team, though, going there. David Johnson in that first game was still coming off the bench. He's starting now. He's playing more minutes. Malik Williams has moved into that center position and into the starting lineup. Chris Mack's playing zone. Who saw that coming?
I think a lot of guys. I mean, there were some teams that went zone this weekend just as a change of pace. Maybe just giving your guys a break. I don't know what it is, but just to try to screw up the rhythm of a game. But nevertheless, we'll get to Louisville, though. Louisville beats up on North Carolina this weekend. Another game of note was Virginia taking care of business against Pittsburgh. The Hoos actually were comfortably head up 14, looked like they were on cruise control. To Pitt's credit, they make a run late and made that thing really, really interesting at home.
Yeah, Pittsburgh has pieces.
Yeah, backcourt.
Xavier Johnson, Trey McGowan's, the freshman Champagne, Audis Tony's a nice glue guy. Probably still 1 year away, and you know, they need their key guys not to make any rash decisions and maybe over-evaluate themselves. If everybody comes back, I think Jeff Capel's got a pretty good team next year. Virginia's still a really good defensive team, probably the best defensive team, or at least one of the top two or three defensive teams in the country. And very quietly, they've won now, what, 7 out of 8?
Four straight, seven of eight.
I kind of feel that, you know, we've forgotten about Virginia, like they're the 2001 version of Dr. Dre. Still the defending champs.
You know, the deal, though, with this league, though, is we know there's three really good teams. I mean, three teams elite that you could sit there and say, you know what, it would not be crazy to think that Duke, Louisville, or Florida State can get to the Final Four. Then you've got the DNA championship of Virginia. Right? But they have not been, because of their offensive woes, you don't think of them as the other three. But when they score, they are just nasty good because they play such great D. Well, we've been kind of harping on this from the get-go. The league's got three terrific teams, and Virginia is the fourth best team. Doesn't mean Virginia can't compete with the first three, but there has been a separation, I think, of the three and then Virginia. And then I think there's a separation of Virginia and the rest of the glob.
Virginia has Duke and Louisville still left.
Right.
How far they've come will be telling in those games.
That's exactly right.
And those are, I believe, the next two Saturdays. It's Duke this Saturday, Louisville that last Saturday of the regular season. If they're able to win one of those games, you feel a lot better about Virginia going into the conference tournament and then NCAA tournament.
I kidded around that the only way I could describe the top four spots of the ACC, it was kind of like the college football playoff this past year. We had three unbelievably great teams, and then
Virginia's Oklahoma.
Virginia's whoever, you know, is right. Virginia's the team that says, "Hey, you got to go jump on number one." And why you want to be number one is because two and three are going to go butt heads, right? It just kind of feels that way this year in the league.
So you're not giving Virginia any chance against the top three.
No. Hey, Virginia's already beaten Florida State.
They have.
Now, granted, it was at home. If Virginia can shoot the basketball, they can beat any of the three in front of them. But they just don't score it as consistently.
Yeah,
and they're not as deep as the other three.
Not as deep. Sometimes you have to realize, too, you lost three pros.
That's right.
Program like Virginia doesn't reload with one-and-dones or two-and-dones. That is a program that prides itself on fourth-year juniors and fifth-year seniors. That's how Tony Bennett built this thing up for a long time. They can't absorb the losses of early defections like some of these other schools. You're going to take a step back. The fact that they're still fourth in the ACC, and let's face it, a retooling year, that shows you how good that program is and how far they've come under Tony Bennett.
That's exactly right. And the guy's a great coach. They still have championship DNA and defense travels, and they've kind of proven that throughout the course of the year. But, you know, they just have been grinding themselves through W's, and you're starting to see them here come down the stretch, the most important time of the season. Like you mentioned, they had won four straight, seven in their last eight, seem to be playing their best basketball at the right time of the year. And to me, that is a great sign if you're a Virginia fan, player, coach, administrator, or anything else. But I do think there's a notch between the top three and where Virginia is. But as you pointed out, they got a couple games coming up. Our man David Teal had this little stat, and this kind of proves exactly the thing you were talking about with Tony Bennett. The win against Virginia's win against Pitt, and they've now clinched nine consecutive winning ACC seasons. And the coaches who've led programs to at least nine straight winning ACC men's basketball records, you might have heard of these guys, Vic Bubas, Coach K, Dean Smith, Roy Williams, and yes, Virginia's Tony Bennett. Good company.
Not bad.
Yep, pretty strong. Needless to say. Another game of note, Syracuse, the Orange, Josh McCary's boys, looked like they were dead in the water.
They were.
In the first half. I mean, stick a fork in the Orange, they're done. Then they put a 52 spot on the second half, come back for the W.
Marek Dolezaj, we're going to talk to him on the show later. Goes off for 20 points, big second half.
He'll join us later on, by the way.
I looked at that second half for Syracuse, and maybe this is hyperbole. I thought this is the season. You think about a team that had lost 5 of 6 coming in. If you lose at home to Georgia Tech and you look at the remaining schedule with 3 of 4 games on the road, even though some of those are winnable games, you're not feeling too confident. You're saying, all right, this is over. You lost to Georgia Tech at home. You're not going to go on the road and finish strong. They may still not get in, but winning that game, to me, you have extended your season a little bit. You've given yourself a lifeline the way they come back. Now, here's the thing. Can you build on that? This is not just ACC-centric. Teams have had trouble all throughout college basketball following up big wins. Hey, you got a little bit of momentum. Now, can you go follow that up, win 2-3 in a row? It's been hard to do in college basketball in almost every league. The ACC is no different. But the back end of their schedule is favorable, even though 3 of those games are on the road. I think they salvaged some of their season. I think if they lose that game, they're done.
Bring the pom-poms?
No, I'm not bringing the pom-poms. Listen, most Syracuse fans... You've been to Central New York. It's cloudy. It's gloomy. The sun hides for like 9 months of the year. You know, it's a partly cloudy type of fan base.
Is that what it is?
It is a partly cloudy type of fan base.
It is a manageable end schedule-wise. I just don't know if you get any quality wins to kind of get on the good side. They're going to have to win the tournament, in my opinion. I thought they had a chance at Florida State and Louisville to kind of make their case like NC State did this past week with Duke and Florida State, respectively. And they whiffed. They had a chance to knock off the nose. They got a 4-point lead late in Tallahassee and let that thing get away. To me, that was the game for them. If you win that one, now you're back in the conversation.
Not having wins against the elite in the conference, that's certainly a strike against you. But again, remaining games are Pitt, UNC, BC, Miami.
All winnable.
3 of those are on the road. UNC is at home. If you win all 4, you're 12-8 in league play. Now, 12-8 in the ACC this year is different than 12-8 in most years, or, you know, playing 20 games this year, but you get the idea. You win those 4, you go to Greensboro, maybe you need 2. Could be doable, but you've got some momentum now. You're on a 5-game win streak. It's possible. If you lose to Georgia Tech, I just don't see how you respond. You know, now you've lost 6 of 7. You're coming off a home loss to a Yellow Jackets team that's straddling the 500 mark. I think you're done. So I think they've extended their season. They've at least given their fan base a little hope. It's still partly cloudy, but you can see the sun.
Anish Shroff, Says it's half filled up, man. It's
No. I'm not going there. Filled. No. I'm just saying you can see the sun.
I gotcha. I think they got to win the ACC tournament, but that's what makes it fun. We come back. We got more games to get into. We got tons of guests. We'll take your phone calls too. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. Anish is filling in for Wes. I'm Mark Packer. It's Packer and Durham on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app, not to mention SiriusXM Channel 371.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.
This is my life.
Everybody's happy at the Schroff house right now.
You know what my 2-year-old figured out the other day? Alexa, play Baby Shark, and it worked. Terrifying.
I'm glad I'm out of that stage.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Every stage is different. I'm just kind of glad I'm out of that
stage. Okay, turn it off now. Turn it off now.
You're going to be humming it the rest of the show. All right, 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Even Fuller's starting to bark.
Yeah, I don't blame him.
It's because Robert, who, by the way, rolled into town about 1 a.m. because he was in Vegas yesterday and was still able to make the show today, and he brings these world-famous peanut butter and honey sandwich bites, and the Hounds and Robert have now bonded, so... During the break, they just loaded up, and now Robert says he's all done. So you can tell Fuller's basically letting him know that, you got to come back with more. Can't go for that.
He still has the scent on him, so Fuller's not leaving.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. All right, we got other games of note. That includes, we mentioned, Louisville on the road tonight at Florida State in a huge game. We'll get into that later on. But before they had to worry about Florida State, they had the Tar Heels come to town, and no problem. Louisville beats North Carolina by 17. And the nightmare of February for North Carolina continues. They're still 0-4. But the good news for Louisville is after stumbling Georgia Tech and Clemson, they certainly bounce back. Again, taking care of business, easy win against North Carolina.
Yeah, back-to-back blowout wins, blasted Syracuse, taking care of North Carolina. The junk defenses seem to have bothered Louisville those couple of games against Clemson and Georgia Tech. Malik Williams in the starting lineup. David Johnson, to me, has been just such a difference maker. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've had to live with some growing pains with him. Sometimes he's had too many turnovers. But the dynamic element he gives them at point guard makes you want to buy this team going into March because they have all the other pieces in a year where not everybody has as many knowns and constants as a team like Louisville.
Totally agree. Malik Williams goes 17-9. You mentioned putting him in the lineup. And for North Carolina, Garrison Brooks, ill, doesn't play. Justin Pierce, ankle, doesn't play. 83 starts, scholarship players, no shows. With injuries or anything else this year for Roy Williams. It's been one of those years. And for North Carolina, maybe you can save some face. The good news is every time you're struggling, NC State pops up on the schedule. That's coming up earlier this week. Probably the last thing NC State fans want to hear. But for Louisville, though, hey, they're right where they want to be late February. And as I mentioned, this game tonight is a monster. Louisville at Florida State. Duke throw them in there, the top three big boys coming down the stretch. But look at this for North Carolina. This is just ugly.
17 losses, and there's still games left to play. School record for losses in a season is 20. That was Matt Doherty's second season. They've only lost more than 17 games once in school history. You look at it in the last 50 years, I mean, they've had, three or four losing seasons? That's it. This is a proud program going through a rough patch. Now, they got a great recruiting class coming in. They'll reload and be fine. But, boy, with all the hype and hoopla surrounding Cole Anthony coming into this year, it's hard not to say that this has been one of the most disappointing teams, not just in the ACC. They are the most disappointing team of the ACC, but the most disappointing team nationally. And injuries and all that play a part of it. I think we thought they still had more talent around Cole Anthony than I guess they do.
Anish, a month ago, we were talking about, hey, when Cole Anthony comes back, and we hope he does, will that be the spark? They haven't won a game. Now, he's a terrific player. I don't know if he can help an NBA team tomorrow, but that's not up for me to decide. That'll be up for Team Anthony to figure that thing out. But they need him in the lineup, obviously. But this whole thing has been kind of disjointed since the 5-0 start. When you realize North Carolina's lost 17 of their last 22. I mean, let that marinate a second. They've now got 13 ACC losses. That's an all-time record in a season. And as you pointed out, there's still more games to be played.
If I said to you, hey, North Carolina is going to have a down season before the year started, what would you have guessed conference record?
I would 12-8.
12-8, right? 13-7. Worst case scenario, 500.
Right. I mean, that to me, that's because, again, there's certain places in this league where the standard is, hey, we're going to play 20 this year, 18-2, 17-3, 16-4. They're one of the conversation teams, right? Always. I mean, they were preseason number two in the tip-off, and they're sitting here in the 15 spot. I mean, nobody expected this.
3-13 in league play.
3-13. Wow. Not good. That's what it is. Other games of note, Clemson, Boston College. The Tigers did something they have never done before. They shot nearly 69% from the field. They only missed like 14 shots the whole game. Ridiculous. And, you know, hey, BC's been kind of a Jekyll and Hyde. When they've been really good, they've been good. Clemson kind of the same thing. When they make shots, they're pretty good. When they miss shots, it's kind of ugly at times. But Clemson could not miss a shot Saturday night. That was crazy.
I may regret saying this, but if you've watched Clemson the last three games, they're shooting the ball a lot better, 50% plus in all three. Alamir Dawes has really come on the last five, six games. That's been a huge difference. Mm-hmm. You know, Tevin Mack's been solid most of the season. Amir Sims is the best passing big man in this conference. Right now, they look like an NCAA tournament team.
They have a weird resume.
Right? Like you've beaten Louisville. You've beaten Duke. You beat NC State, Syracuse. But then you've got some bad losses in there. Although I'll say the Yale loss in non-conference actually looks pretty good. Yale turned out to be okay. Right now, they look like a tournament team, and they've got a soft finish. You know, they play, what, Georgia Tech twice?
Florida State at home now.
Well, that's the thing. Florida State is at home, which is big. They get Virginia Tech. 3-1 down the stretch. Win 2 in Greensboro. They're in the conversation on Selection Sunday.
Well, they're one of the few teams in the glob that look at the bubble and say, hey, you know what? We got some really good quality wins. There are not many people that come to the table that say, raise your hand if you've beaten Duke. Raise your hand if you've beaten Louisville. Well, they have.
And if you get Florida State, to me, that punches it potentially.
Trifecta, right? The three best teams in the league.
How do you leave them in a year like this with a weak bubble? How do you leave a team out that beats Louisville, Duke, and Florida State?
Because you've lost at home to Miami, Yale, South Carolina, who's, of course, you know, on the bubble, if you will. I mean, their home losses, if and even like Notre Dame, again, Sims didn't play in that game. They probably look back at that and say, woulda, coulda, shoulda. But they have a very bizarre resume. But when they've been good, they've been really good.
This
really
is good. Where the subjectivity element comes into, because Clemson now is not Clemson when conference play began.
That's it. And by the way, they lost to Virginia Tech at home, first game of the season.
Well, they 1-3 to start conference play.
Yeah. Crazy. But what they did at BC, that's the best ever since they've been playing basketball. Just under 69% is what they shot. I got news for you. If they shoot 69% in every game moving forward, you may see them making a seriously deep run. Who shoots 69% in a game?
They'll win the national championship. That's a bold take.
I'm not going
That's a bold take.
This did not surprise me. Duke, razor focus for Virginia Tech. After that NC State debacle in the middle of the week in which they really just got totally outplayed, out everything, you knew practices had to be beautiful. And here comes Duke, and man, it did not take long. They jumped on Virginia Tech, 11-2. They're up by 26 at halftime. See you later. Duke looked like they meant business.
That game was over 5 minutes after it started. Feel for Mike Young, who's done a great job with Virginia Tech this season, but that was a typical, oh man, we're playing Duke coming off a loss. I mean, you kind of knew what you were getting into. You're going to Cameron Indoor. Blue Devils coming off a loss. Matthew Hurt played great. Cassius Stanley was terrific. Pieces starting to come together.
There's our boy coach eating the popcorn before the game.
He kind of saw it coming.
What, the popcorn or Duke? Or both?
Both.
Oh, man. You just had a bad vibe about this
one. You did.
One. That, hey, you know what? I'm catching Duke at the wrong time after their effort against NC State. But that was just a total woodshed job. And the Hokies have lost 7 of 8. As you pointed out, they've only had one W since January 22nd. It's been tough. But, you know, when they make threes, they're a dangerous team. When they don't, stuff like this happens.
Yeah, second time around for a lot of for Virginia Tech and a lot of these games in conference play, teams have adjusted too. I mean, that's something that you notice as well.
Future's bright, though. I like what he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people, when he walked into the league, to the casual fan, Mike Young, who, right? You know, we live in this area. We're very familiar with what Mike Young has done and his resume and his track record. He can coach, yep. And he inherited a roster that, again, probably should have finished closer to the bottom of the ACC this year. They've been competitive in a lot of games, and they've had some big wins early.
Duke, by the way, as a ranked team under Coach K, that was win number 1,000. That's a lot.
Just as a rank. So he's played at least 1,000 games as a ranked team.
How about that? 1,000 wins as a ranked team. That's under Coach K.
Unbelievable.
Crazy. One other game of last night, in case you did not catch it, West Durham with the call on assignment. Notre Dame got off to a slow start against Miami, and then all of a sudden they do what they do a bunch, and that is make threes. And when they shoot the ball well, that is a dangerous team. This is one of those teams the rest of the regular season and into the ACC tournament in Greensboro, you better keep an eye on the Irish, because they will heave it from three, and when they make them like they did last night, see you later. They made 14 threes last night. This game actually wasn't that close.
No, they pulled away, from Miami. I look at Notre Dame. This is a team I thought that would be better. I thought this would be a top four, top five team in the ACC. And you know, the thing that's been missing is, what's the win that you can kind of stand on? What's the win that you can say, hey, this legitimizes us? You know, they've beaten a lot of teams they should beat, right? But they've also had some slip-ups. And 500 in league play – in this year, with all the talent that was coming back from Mike Bray, I expected a little more.
The quality W is missing, but I would say Notre Dame's schedule, much like Syracuse's schedule, they're sitting here at 8-8. It would not surprise me to see them finish strong, given a manageable run down the stretch. But, you know, Syracuse has a win against Virginia on the road. Notre Dame just does not have that on the resume.
Nothing.
That's the problem.
So they're a team that probably has to go to Greensboro and
Rocket,
yeah.
Deep. Maybe not, you know, if they don't win it, they need to be at least in the conversation. Looks that way. But they're a dangerous matchup, man, because I'm telling you what, Brace guys like to let it rip. And when they make shots like they did last night, you're at the mercy. Mooney goes double-double for sure. Who won nuts last night? Hub went 15 points, 10 assists. They're a good team when they make shots, like everybody else.
Well, we're in a season where a lot of teams aren't making shots. So that's what makes them dangerous. You know, you mentioned Clemson. You're shooting 69%, 50% plus three straight games. You start making shots. I mean, as simple as it sounds, that just has not been happening at the same clip in college basketball this year. Offense is depressed. Offense has not been aesthetic most of this season. So the teams that can do it, you're going to have a chance, as simple as that sounds. Yeah, make shots. Every time we talk to coaches, every time I go out and do games, you talk to coaches, the last thing they say, we just got to make shots.
I think we could get in that coaching business. Hey, all we got to do is make shots.
Yeah,
it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
When we come back, we talk about the ladies. It's a Play for K night tonight. It'll be a great scene in Raleigh, North Carolina. Some surprises. I mean, some really big surprises with the ladies. We'll get into all of that when we return. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number. Anish filling in for Wes. It's Packer and Durham here on ACC Network. And of course, streaming live on that ESPN app and SiriusXM 371. All right, we went through the men's weekend. The ladies had some surprises, too. There's a really important game tonight, Duke-NC State, the Play for K game. And, you know, for 11 days in February, college basketball and the ESPN networks unite for an important initiative, Play for K. To honor the vision of legendary coach Kay Yao and to support the Kay Yao Cancer Fund. And while ACC teams play for this cause, let's take a closer look at the life and legacy of Coach Yao. Debbie Antonelli played for Kay at NC State, and recently she headed back to campus to the office of the student newspaper to remember and reflect.
Once I started coaching, I still never thought I was going to do anything great. The only thing that I've always thought my whole life is to give everything I have and be the best that I can be.
You know that cliche, you don't always remember what people say to you, but you remember how they make you feel? Coach always made you feel important. We all knew as she was going to be in the way in practice. She was in the lane that you were running. She was under the basket for a rebounding drill. If you're working on some defense, she was in the middle of the floor. She was always in the way. Winning the ACC tournament title, it was always a special time. In 1985, we did win the tournament title, and that meant everything to her, too. I mean, she grew up Tobacco Road, ACC basketball. Winning the ACC tournament is always special. She taught us to be accountable and responsible. She taught us to have patience and tolerance. She taught us to set goals and really believe that you could do things. And most important, the best gift she gave all of us was hope through her battle with cancer.
I never questioned, why am I going through this? It's a part of the overall plan.
Here is this incredible role model, stronger than strong, never saw a weak link or ever saw any sort of weakness in anything that she did. When she decided to fight, then she inspired everybody to fight alongside with her. She came back three times from cancer. So the third time that she came back in the 07 year, you could see more the effects of cancer on her body, the wig, the gloves. There were times she couldn't even get up off the bench. It was challenging to watch her coach her team. But we knew that coaching her team was the most important thing to her while she battled it publicly. She knew that she could put a face on cancer that would help inspire others.
As I battle cancer and then I come out and have a court named for me, have a great team of players and staff, it really gives me a great lift in a lot of ways.
It meant everything to me to be able to be there, to be able to watch her team, to be able to help provide that moment in time for her that would live forever. I can't imagine doing anything more important or more powerful than that.
College basketball has lost one of its great coaches and human beings. Kaya lost her battle with breast cancer.
As much as I miss her and love her, as much as I know how great the fund is doing, how hard the board works, I feel so proud. And I know she would be so happy. But then she would ask us what more we can do. That was her attitude all the time in everything she did. I play for Kay every day.
Special coach, special lady.
Yeah, this story has always been one that has hit close to home for me. I remember when Kay Yao was going through her battle, and you know, you kind of watch it unfold and the outpouring of love. I lost my mom to breast cancer. She was 46. Mm. I was 17 years old, and same kind of deal. It was the third time. You know, she had it, remission for 4 years. It came back. They tried something. It looked like it worked, and then it came back a third time. And watching again that piece with Kay Yao, I'm reminded of my mom, who, you know, said, "Hey, even when things were bad, I'm going to beat this thing. And I don't have cancer. Cancer has me." And that kind of attitude, that kind of fighting spirit. And it's that game every year, and what Debbie has done supporting that cause is phenomenal. That has always struck a personal chord with me, and I'm glad they continue to do it, and I'm glad they continue to raise money for it, because if we can eradicate that disease, we can save so many women and men. And so it is it's special to see that, again, your legacy is defined, you know, not when you're born, not when you die, but it's that dash in the middle. And Kay Yao, in that dash in between, when she lived, changed lives, made an impact, and continues to do so.
No doubt. Tonight will be the 15th annual Play for Kay game. Last year raised, I think, over $200,000. For the game itself, you know what this company, ESPN, has done with the Jimmy V Foundation, everything else. And again, it's just something that everybody's touched by, one way or the other.
Yeah. I mean, in cancer, everybody's got a story, right? Everybody has been hit in some way or form by cancer, whether it's them, whether it's their family, whether it's a loved one, whether it's a friend. And I think, again, the best way you can remember somebody's legacy is to continue that impact. And Kay Yao, even though she's gone, her impact and her name, it still resonates. It still echoes
And it's for a great cause.
Yep, no question about that. Again, Duke NC State tonight, the Play for K game. There were some other games this weekend on the ladies' side, kind of surprising. Georgia Tech knocks off Florida State. And then old Nell down there in Atlanta might have just played herself into the NCAA tournament. I mean, the big win against NC State last week. Now they knock off Florida State. The Jackets, again, hitting stride at the right time. Big W for Georgia Tech.
Yeah, Francesca Pan going for 23 points. Florida State a top 25 team. And Georgia Tech building some positive momentum now before that conference tournament.
We had Nell on the other day, and, of course, she's just thoroughly fired up, right? I mean, every time you talk to her, so positive and everything else. But this was a terrific win. And when you, again, you tie that into NC State, Florida State, this late into the season, Georgia Tech 2-3 weeks ago looked like they'd kind of hit the wall. We're going nowhere fast. And now all of a sudden, you look at the Jackets, and again, if you look at the right bracketologist, they got Georgia Tech in the dance. That's how you do it, man. You got to win big games, ones that matter, late. And Georgia Tech's getting the job done.
Yeah, knocking off Florida State. And then you had Notre Dame with a win against Syracuse. The Irish have been up and down all season. Even recently, you thought maybe they put it together, and then they hit another losing streak, coming off three straight losses to go beat Syracuse. Listen, that's a program with a head coach who's won a lot of games and won a lot of big games. Down season for them, not a team you sleep on.
Well, here's the other thing. Q had gotten the Q's kind of on the positive side, right? I mean, really on a roll, and you kind of figure – man, Notre Dame's down, but it's still Notre Dame, right? You still, there's something about the DNA of a championship program. And much like North Carolina and hoops on the men's side, Notre Dame on the women's side, you better get them now because they will not stay down for long. But for Syracuse, that was a disappointing loss because you figure, hey, that's one. You figure you get that W and move on down the road a little bit.
Yeah, they'd won five in a row. They were rolling. Well. Quentin Hillsman really had that program going. Really had that team going. And then, you know, you didn't expect them to stub their toe against a Notre Dame team that was, what, five games under 500 coming into the game.
Right. Other games of note, we got the scoreboard. You can see these all for yourself. But Louisville continues to lead the pack from an ACC perspective. And Jeff Walls, again, continues to rock and roll. Their big win at NC State kind of set the tone, and everybody's chasing Louisville right now. But they beat Pittsburgh, been a tough year for the Panthers. We gave the Notre Dame score. Another surprise, Virginia knocked off Virginia Tech. Coach Brooks was feeling pretty good about life. We had him on the show last week as they picked up their 20th win at Notre Dame. But then they come home, can't take care of in-state rival there. Wake Forest knocked off North Carolina in overtime. Then you got the BC win over Miami, and we mentioned Georgia Tech knocking off Florida State. But tonight, of course, is going to be the cool deal, right? Tonight's the cool deal.
Yeah, Play for K. Yeah. Again, that game is always special on so many reasons, for so many reasons that just go beyond basketball. And so you get a chance, you know, watch the game, at least watch the beginning of that game, watch the ceremonies and all that goes on as they honor K-Yao again. And, you know, the great thing is they're going to raise a lot of money for cancer awareness.
No doubt. By the way, as I mentioned, Louisville is 14-2 in the league. NC State's 12-3. Duke 10-5. But again, Duke State tonight for the Play for K game should be outstanding. All right. Next deal, by the way, speaking of ladies basketball, we got the game tonight we know about. But Thursday nights are always the special nights for the ladies. And our next Thursday night women's basketball doubleheader will be right here on ACC Network and, of course, the ESPN app. Number 5 Louisville, they host BC at the Yum Center starting around 6 p.m. Eastern time. Then Syracuse is in Raleigh to take on number 10 NC State. Again, the Wolfpack a game and a half behind Louisville in the conference standings. Both games are gigantic as we come down the stretch. Everybody, though, chasing Louisville on the women's side, and of course Louisville and Florida State on the men's side tonight at the very top along with Duke. So it's that time of the year, man. Late February, this time next week, it's March. And you know what that's all about. But a great slate of women's basketball Thursday night right here on ACC Network. If you want to jump on board on the show, you certainly can. The number is 844-SAY-ACCN. That's 844-SAY-ACCN. But when we come back, it's time for a little accounting. You know, it's always fluid. What's the glob going to be like? What do we got at the top? All that's coming your way. Anish filling in for Wes. It's Packer and Durham here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app, not to mention SiriusXM channel 371.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
Anish Shroff, filling in, doing it for the kids. That's what he's doing. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. Obviously, we've gone through the men's and women's slate on the hoop side. We've got a ton of sports to cover between now and 10 a.m. because we are going to cover everybody and their brother, not to mention tonight's giant game with Louisville on the road at Florida State. But it's now time for accounting. We do this each and every week. We attempt to rank each ACC team 1 through 15 as we see fit, based on the body of work or whatever other item that comes to your head to do the rankings.
Oh, so it's not just body of work?
It's whatever you want. There are no rules here. There's absolutely no rules. Zero. So I'm going to lead.
Go ahead.
And you can mock this all you want. And for the first time, I have gone the trifecta at the top. Compliments of NC State destroying Duke last week.
It's kind of a cop-out, it though, is, right?
And I will be the first one to tell you, I hated doing it. But you know what? There really doesn't seem to be any difference between these three. Now, tonight, we're going to get Florida State-Louisville. And I know the Noles went in and beat up Louisville at the Yum Center. You know, and I've also seen Louisville go to Duke and take care of business. I've seen Duke beat Florida State. I mean, it's just the round robin. We're going to finally start getting through some of this stuff down the stretch. But right now, all three of them, to me, are about the same. About the same. Duke was awesome against Virginia Tech. They were not awesome against NC State. I had them one last week. They're all about 1.5 this week. So, again, it's a total cop-out. I'll be the first to admit it. Virginia, I've been telling you for weeks, is the fourth-best team in the ACC. Nothing's changed there. NC State, despite the loss to the Noles at home over the weekend, the win against Duke keeps them right there at 5. Clemson's playing terrific. They've won 3 straight. They're at 6. Syracuse, with their 52 spot in the second half against Georgia Tech, slightly ahead of Notre Dame. Those two, by the way, might have played the two best games of the year in terms of just sheer entertainment. Syracuse Notre Dame games have been great. Georgia Tech's been kind of hot and cold. They're at the 9 spot. BC at 10. Pitt, Miami, Virginia Tech, to me, are all about the same. Mm-hmm. The Hokies only had one win since January 22nd. That's why I put them at 13. Pitt hasn't won a game here in the last couple of weeks. Miami's getting healthy. At least I think they are. Every time I think they are, somebody gets hurt. I saw Likes go down last night with a turf toe. That's not a good thing. Wake 14, North Carolina 15. That's where we are. There it is.
Outside of you copping out and not picking a real number one, I can't quibble too much.
How about if I just tell you Duke's number one?
Duke's number one. Okay, I'm buying it.
That's the tiebreaker if I had to put somebody there.
So I'm going with Florida State. To me, they've been the most consistent team in that league from start to finish. Even their losses, they've been right there at the end. Their 3 league losses. Pittsburgh, I don't really put a lot of stock into that. That was the first game of the season. Losing to Virginia and losing to Duke. Both on the road, both close games. To me, they're number one. They're deep. Devin Vassell is the ACC Defensive Player of the Year. If he played more minutes, he'd have bigger numbers, and we'd look at him differently. Maybe the most underrated player in the country. Then I've got Duke and Louisville. That was splitting hairs. I mean, you can go either way there.
Yeah.
Virginia at number four, as Homer Simpson would say, default, the two greatest words in the English language. Who else are you going to put it for? How about the team that's won 7 of their last 8? I've got Notre Dame and Syracuse flip-flop, but you know, once you get really from 5, you know, down to 10, 11, 12, not a ton of separation between these teams. I watched Amadeus last week. Remember Salieri, one of the great villains? At the very end, he says, I'm the patron saint of mediocrity. That's what I feel most of the ACC is. Salieri would be proud.
The glob, man. That's what it is. 5 through 13 is the glob. Because really, you know, NC State to Miami, hey, on a given night, man, nothing surprises
nothing.
You. I mean, really, seriously, no matter what the matchups are between 5 and 13, on a given night, the guy with a double-digit number beats the guy with a 5 or a 6 or a 7. I mean, it's where we are. It's what it's been all year. It is a fluid situation. But the one thing, again, I keep harping on with Wes the last couple of weeks. Here's what I know about the league. Here's what I absolutely know about the league. We've got 3 terrific teams at the top that could get to Atlanta. I think Virginia, when they have their act together, you know what, can compete with those 3, but they're the 4th best team in the league.
A clear 4th.
Yeah, and I think Wake and North Carolina right now are the 2 worst teams in the league.
What's interesting is when you look at the Virginias, the NC States, the Clemsons, you can put Syracuse and Notre Dame in that group too. and you start trying to project their schedule and you say these are winnable games.
Good luck.
And those are teams that are below those teams in our ACC accounting. You kind of have to do it with a grain of salt.
Or pencil.
Because, yeah, hey, they should beat Miami on the road. But if Miami goes and beats a Syracuse, would that surprise you?
No.
If a Notre Dame would lose to, you know, one of those teams from 8 down to 13, would that really surprise you? No. I mean, that's the year it's been where you try to project, hey, this team should take care of this game. This team should take care of this team. It doesn't happen that way, and it hasn't happened that way this season because, again, we have a lot of mediocrity, and you're right. Well, any given day, one of those teams from like 8 to 13, you know, shoots 45%. Well, team 4 through 7 is in trouble.
Right. I mean, I'll give you a game this week, which is the perfect snapshot of what you're talking about. Here's NC State coming off a really good week, quite frankly. I mean, we're fantastic beating up on Duke. Played good 20 minutes against Florida State. Didn't close. Nevertheless, still in the tournament based on the bracketologist. NC State, we both agreed, is at the 5 spot right now in our accounting.
Yeah.
Right? They're not as good as the big 3. Virginia's have got a better resume and everything else. And then there's NC State. NC State plays at the 15 spot, North Carolina, this week.
Would it stun you?
No. Not at all. I mean, that one wouldn't even faze me at all if Light Blue beats NC State Red this week. Now, again, North Carolina's already won in Raleigh earlier this year. North Carolina hasn't won a game in February. Here's NC State coming off a really productive week, back in the good side of the bracket. You know, they're going to play in Chapel Hill. Those two don't like each other. North Carolina's got nothing to lose. And here comes NC State with really kind of everything to lose. So would it surprise you? No, it wouldn't surprise you at all.
This year, no. This is not just even in the ACC. It's across all conferences where so many of these teams in the middle, when you're expecting them to make that push, hey, you have an opportunity now. Can you springboard off a big win? And very few have been consistently able to do that. March is going to be chaotic this year.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be chaotic. It's going to be fun. It's going to be chaotic. Really, this is the year where I would say when you see all the experts filling out their bracket, get your uncle or your aunt or your four-year-old nephew or niece who's never watched a minute of basketball this season and say, hey, you do this for me. Because they will have better luck than you this year.
Yep. No doubt. By the way, all you need to do is like a snapshot of the top 10 this week in college basketball. Number 1, number 2, number 4, number 7, number 9, lost. That's where we are.
The great philosopher, Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Oh, you're going wrestling on
me? I'm going wrestling on you. He summed up the season. Just when you think you know all the answers, I changed the question.
Who knew there'd be a Rowdy Roddy reference in hour one with Anish Roth.
Rowdy Roddy Piper. That's hard to say this early.
All right. By the way, speaking of Rowdy, that's what we got coming up next. That'd be Seth Greenberg. He's going to join us, try to figure all this stuff out from the glob to the top, not to mention tonight's great game with Louisville and Florida State. All that is coming up hour number two and then some. Anish Roth filling in for West Durham. It's Packer and Durham. Right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app, not to mention SiriusXM, channel 371.